Well, it's a privilege to be here tonight, and I just want to say thank you to Glenn for the invitation. He took an enormous risk on the word of a mutual friend, Noel Musket. Noel attends our fellowship at Community Bible Church in Elderton, so it's I have to do Noel well tonight and make him proud. But more than that, we want to make the Lord Jesus Christ look good. We want to exalt his name. Glenn mentioned just a couple things about me, but before I was down in Louisville, I pastored in Northern Ontario in the far regions in the hinterland of emo. Long before it was a music genre, it was a city, a little town actually. So it was a town, it's a town of 1,200. I pastored there for almost 9 years, and by the grace of God, just saw and learned many good things about the Lord. As I come tonight, we've been in Elderton, we've been going through the Lord's Prayer. And as I started a pastoral ministry, I thought, where would I start with a congregation to point them to the glory of Jesus Christ and to the excellencies of the gospel and to this great and magnificent and sovereign God that we worship? And my mind came to the Lord's Prayer for the simple reason that it is just laden with truths about this glorious and great and sovereign God that we worship. But tonight we're not going to look at the Lord's Prayer, but we're going to look at the passage just prior to that, where Jesus instructs us in the way to pray. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 5 through 15. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, so if you have a different Bible translation, slightly different, but again reflecting the true meaning of the text. So let's turn there. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. This is what the word of our God says. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let's join together in prayer. Tonight we come to you, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for your mercy that you show to us by giving us a way to approach you, to come before you, this perfect and holy God that you are, that you permit us to come by your Son, who laid down his life. And that tonight we can even come to you in prayer and speak to you. And we pray that tonight we might know you as Father, that we might see you as our Father, that we might receive you as Father, if we have not done so already. So I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, that they would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. That you would build up your people and strengthen them tonight through your word. Do this for Christ's sake, I pray. Amen. We live in a very spiritual world. We live in a praying world. Everybody prays. Native Americans, some regard dancing as a form of prayer. For Sufi Muslims, they whirl. Hindus will chant mantras. Orthodox Jews will sway their bodies in emotion back and forth. Muslims will kneel and put themselves prostrate and say the salats, praying five times a day. Quakers will keep silent, waiting to hear from God. Some will pray with beads. Others will make the sign of the cross. Still others, in Eastern religions, prayer will be done for the purpose of enlightenment, opening the mind, having the mind filled. Buddhists have spinning wheels so that they can transfer prayers of merit to them. For many, prayer has to be done in the exact right way, because if the formula is not followed precisely, then the prayer might be hindered. So for some, in Jewish groups, they believe that prayer is to be done to educate the prayer. For some Muslims, the notions of prayer have to be strictly followed so that Allah will listen and hear what is said. In Kabbalah, Jewish mysticism, they will use a series of kavanot, or what's called directions of intent, to specify the path by which one prays, so that the prayer might be more effective in its dialogue to God. In Christian circles, prayer has many, many forms as well. Prayer might include speaking in another language called tongues. Some will pray in such a way that it has to be written down, a liturgy. Still others believe that the best way to pray is spontaneously, from the heart, must be authentic. Many groups have advocated prayer for the advancement of healing. Some have suggested that prayer ministries ought to be done so that people who are sick might be healed, because scientific research proves that prayer is an effective tool. Still others will use prayer because it's a therapeutic technique, a way to calm the mind and the soul, to come to peace with oneself, to be relaxed, inner composure, inner peace. The problem we run into as human beings is that we take this very good gift that God has given to us and we turn it on its head. Turn it from knowing our Father who made us, who created us. We turn it on its head. And in turning it on its head, instead of receiving it as a good gift so that we might commune with our Father, we turn it into a form of wickedness and of abomination. And Jesus speaks highly about how to pray, but also warns us specifically how not to pray. We want to avoid taking prayer and using it as a tool to manipulate the Father. We want to take this tool and rightly glorify God, but not exalt the self, but our Father who is not seen. And instead of knowing God through prayer, prayer can become a tool by which we manipulate people, take advantage of others, and still think that we have exalted the self. But the very fact that we turn prayer on its head is a sign that we live in a fatherless world. Now, that might not be the first thought that comes to your mind when we talk about praying the Lord's Prayer, but in essence, what Jesus teaches us about prayer is that this prayer is to know the Father. So to not know the Father is to be in a fatherless world, to live as though we do not know God as our Father. Without direction, without help, without instruction, we will not pray rightly. But rather, we will make prayer an abomination. We will make it something that is not listened to by God. Because we will try to manipulate everything for our personal gain, for our glory, for our advantage. Just listen to what the Scriptures say. In Proverbs 28, verse 9, it says, "If one turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination." 1 Peter 3, verse 7 tells husbands that they ought to live with their wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. James in chapter 4, verse 3, he says, These words, "You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." In other words, prayer can malfunction. Prayer has a default mechanism by which it will not work. And in our own strength and in our own way, prayer might be self-serving, self-satisfying, self-seeking. And taking the very good gift of God and turning it on its head, we will not please God. Because this kind of prayer is not acceptable to God. It's a direct assault on His fatherhood. So Jesus warns us there's a right way and a wrong way to pray. There's a right way and a wrong way, and in a fatherless world that seeks its own comfort, its own pleasure, that seeks to manipulate as any fatherless person seeks to do, we need to be taught and pointed to the Father. We need to be brought to the Father. And so Jesus teaches us how to pray, not as fatherless people, but as people who have a Father. People who know the Father. But because we are all born as spiritual orphans in this world, without a Father, we need someone to teach us to pray. We need someone to take us to the Father. We need someone to instruct us. And more than that, we need someone to pray with us. For in the very act of praying the Lord's Prayer, Jesus not just instructs His disciples to pray. He says in verse 9, "Pray then like this." Don't exactly pray these words, but pray in this way. But He also is saying, "I will pray with you." The very act of Jesus praying here with His disciples is the act of intercession, by which He takes our prayers and brings them to the Father, that we who were fatherless might find our Father, might know the Father. Because Hebrews 7 verse 25 says, "Consequently, He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them." So even before we pray, we have someone who is teaching us to pray and who is praying with us and for us. So it's the act of praying, we have great hope and comfort. We have this great joy of knowing that we're not doing this on our own, but rather we have much help. So if we're to pray in a way that is not fatherless, if we're to pray in a way that is not manipulative, how should we pray? Two things tonight from this passage, from verses 5 through 8. I want to draw your attention to these two things. First off, pray to your Father in secret rather than praying for others' approval. And secondly, pray to your Father who cares rather than trying to manipulate. First off, pray to your Father in secret rather than praying for others' approval. Listen to what Jesus says in verses 5 and 6. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." The very act of praying needs to start with the very act of not being concerned about what others think, but being concerned about speaking to the Father. There is a danger inherent in prayer that we try to look or sound more spiritual than what we really are. We can try to use words so that we sound very eloquent in praying. We quickly learn from the moment that we're a child, if we're raised in a home where there's prayer, we quickly pick up the cues of how to pray, what's appropriate and what's not. We learn the right phrases to say and the appropriate expressions and the right timing and pitch. And we learn all of these things unbeknownst to us. We learn them, and so we can think that in eloquence and in good speech that we have pleasing prayers. We can also pray when we're gathered corporately in such a way that is an abomination too. As we gather, we sing songs, sometimes one to another, but many times we sing them to God as an act of prayer. But are there times where we notice our voice and how we sound and how others might be perceiving our singing, if it's so beautiful or maybe so horrible. We can become more consumed with how we sound than rather thinking that we are singing to our Father. And so we can end up focusing upon ourselves rather than seeing the greatness and glory of our Father. So while there's a way to pray that can be showy, there's also a way not to pray that's showy. Think about this for a moment. You can pray in such a way that you look good, but you can also not pray in such a way that you maintain a posture of looking good. You might avoid praying because somebody else has just prayed a magnificent prayer. They sound so connected to God, and you feel like you're stumbling over your words, or you stutter, or you just don't quite have the same expression. And you can feel as though your prayer just doesn't sound as spiritual as the person who just prayed. And we can again become more conscientious of ourselves and what other people think of us and avoid praying and be hypocrites. Rather than being concerned about speaking to our Father. We can also give the impression that we pray a lot, and we pray a lot in secret. We can have words and phrases that have become familiar to us. We can have scriptures that have come to our mind that roll off our tongue very easily. We can know the proper phrases that people say and know how to say them at the right time. And we can do it in such a way that we sound far more spiritual than what we ought. But Jesus says in verse 1 of chapter 6, "Beware of doing your acts of righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." We ought to give special attention of not being the kind of people who pray for the approval of others, who seek the approval of others through our praying. But rather, we ought to learn how to pray in such a way that we are conscientious that we are speaking to our Father. You see, sin is so deceptive. It's so sneaky. It's so destructive that it affects the gracious gift of God. Sin is so evil that people who do not know God can love to play religion and use prayer in such a way to look like they love God. Would that not ought to be the way that God's people pray? God's people ought to pray in such a way that they know to whom they are speaking. R.A. Torrey, in his great book called Prayer, The Power of Prayer, said, "We should never utter one syllable of prayer, either in public or in private, until we are definitely conscious that we have come into the presence of God and are actually praying to Him." That means that if you pray publicly ever, it ought to be your first task to remember, to whom am I praying? Am I speaking to the Creator of the universe, the God who made me? Am I speaking to the one who sent His Son to redeem me from sin? Am I speaking to that God, or am I speaking to my brothers and sisters? To whom am I speaking when I pray? So if we're not to seek the approval of others, but to speak to our Father who is in heaven, how are we to find this cure? How are we to find that we can avoid praying in a hypocritical way? Well, the first thing is we need to know God as our Father. That you cannot pray to God in a way that is pleasing and acceptable if you do not know Him as your Father. It's an abomination. It's an abomination to act as though you think that you are in direct relationship with the God of the heavens and earth if you have not come to repent of your self-seeking and self-manipulative attitudes, of your pleasure that you seek even in prayer. That you ought to be born again and you need the new birth to pray rightly. That means that you must turn away from every notion that you think is right in prayer and come to God in repentance and cry out in faith that Jesus Christ would save you and rescue you from your foolishness and your self-righteousness, and that He might deliver you so that you might know God as your Father. Because you need the new birth if you are going to pray right. But then, even then, we can still manipulate prayer. And we can still make prayer an abomination. Unless we first learn to pray in private. Notice what the text says. Notice what Matthew writes, the words of Jesus. In verse 6, he says, "But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father." Where is your Father? Pray to your Father who is in secret. You see, the Father wants to hear you first and foremost alone before He hears you publicly. That means that if you pray publicly, you ought to be in the school of prayer privately. The practice of Jesus, we see it throughout His ministry, throughout His life. What does He do in those critical moments? A rising star in the early first century evangelicalism of His day. What does Jesus do? He's got crowds surrounding Him. He's a miracle worker. He's a preacher with authority. And He goes alone and He prays to His Father. He knows the temptations. He knows the weakness of His own heart. Because in that moment, He knows in His human nature that there is great temptation, but because of the greatness of God, He keeps His Son from sin. And He draws Him back to His Father again and again, and He shows Him, "Come to Me." Same He does with us. He calls us to go to our Father who is in secret. To be private in prayer. To find that we learn first and foremost to pray. So that the weakness of our own hearts would not lead us into sin. But rather that we would be led to the Father. So we pray not to seek others' approval, but we pray to our Father who is in secret. But the second thing that Jesus says is He says, pray to your Father who cares rather than trying to manipulate. Verse 7 and 8. "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." Pray to your Father who cares. When you are a spiritual orphan, what are you going to do to get your way? You learn the street smarts. You learn how to act in a way that you get what you want when you want it. You act so that you can survive. You ought to learn how to pray to your Father because He cares for you. That you not use empty phrases and heap up many words to pray. Do you feel better if you pray longer? Do you heap up many words? The Puritans had an expression. They said, "You need to learn to pray until you pray." That means that you've got to learn to pray to move beyond the formalisms of your regular prayer patterns. That you ought to learn how to pray so that it is authentic, that it comes from the Word of God, formed from the Scriptures, that this informs how you pray, and not just merely rote, empty expressions. Could you imagine if we talked how we prayed? "Andrew, it's so good, Andrew, that you're here, Andrew. And we just want to thank you, Andrew, that you're here, Andrew." And yet we do that with prayer. "Our Father, we just want to thank you, Father, that you just are so good, Father." And yet we violate the command that says, "Do not use the Lord's name in vain," by repeating it over and over and over. That we use it in a meaningless way. We can fall into the trap of prayer lingo. "Lord, just lead, guide, and direct your people." How many times have you heard that phrase spoken over and over and over? We can use repetition so that it becomes meaningless in what we say. Or we can think that we've just captured the secret formula to prayer. If we pray, Father, in such a way, then maybe you will act. But is this praying out of fear because we won't be heard? Because we lack a Father? Or do we have a Father who cares for us? Who cares deeply? You see, our Father is more eager to answer your prayer than you are eager to pray. your Father is more ready to help you than you are ready to pray. Because that's the kind of Father that you have. He is the Father ready and eager to help you in your time of need, in your time of prayer. He is ready and willing. And so our Father is not reluctant. But rather, we ought to know this kind of Father, that He knows our needs even before we ask. So we can have confidence in coming that He will do what's best for us. Because your Father is more ready and eager to answer your prayer than you are ever ready or eager to pray. So pray to your Father. And pray in such a way that you get to know Him. How do we get to know our Father? If knowing our Father is essentially the cure to avoiding hypocritical prayer, then how do we get to know this Father? Let me suggest a couple things. Read the Word and look for the characteristics and attributes of God. Write them down. Take a book like Wayne Grudem's Introduction to Biblical Doctrine and jot down and go through it and jot down the very characteristics of God. God in His holiness, God in His mercy, God in His justice, God in His compassion, God in His grace, God who is all-knowing, God who is all-powerful, God who is all-loving. Get to know your Father. Get to know His character. Get to know His attributes. Write them down. But don't leave them on paper. Take those characteristics and use them to inform your praying. Use them so that you pray in a theological way that is consistent with the Scriptures. Take those characteristics of God, study them, and pray them. So in those great moments where you don't know what to do, pray to your Father who is all-knowing. And seek this all-knowing Father who is working for your good. When your heart is struggling with bitterness and temptation, pray to the Father who is full of mercy and compassion, who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Know your Father. Study His attributes. Pray the attributes. And finally, pray the Word of God. If there's any way that you can pray in such a way that you will not manipulate God, it is by praying with this book open, by reading it. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul says, take the sword of the Spirit, the language that Paul uses there, he says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying. It's not that there has to be a comma or a period there. It could very well mean that Paul says, take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and pray. Take this book and pray. This is your tool for prayer. This is your prayer book. Use it in such a way that you know the Father. You don't know how to pray? You find that you're distracted in prayer? You feel like it's rote and the same thing over and over? Open your Bible. For Israel, their history was that their hymnal has been included for us, the Psalms. This was their prayer book, their hymnal. Why is it that we grow older and we love the Psalms? Isn't it not because they reflect the prayers of God's people from the heart? That they're informed theologically, that they know this very character of God? Take the Word of God. Open it. Pray it. You'll find that you're praying God's will. There's nothing more consistent with God's will than His Word. And you will know the authority and power of prayer because you are praying in accordance with God's will. And you will pray with the help of your Father because He has inspired these words by His Spirit. And so His words are heard. And your prayers will be powerful and effective. G.I. Packer says, we can pray with perfect confidence to the Father as one who will never fail us. Human fathers, they may let us down, but not God. We can know with certainty that our praying will be heard and responded to in the way that is not only wisest in terms of God's own total purposes, but it's also best in the long run for us as the individuals that we are. If anything has taught me about how to pray, this book has taught me. But if anything has sharpened me about how to pray publicly, it's been my children. There's nothing like hearing my 9-year-old daughter pray in a way that I just prayed. And to hear someone that is so impressionable pray, it can be either terrifying or glorious. As a father, I want to point my children to the Father in heaven. That they would not pray to manipulate, that they would not pray to please me, but rather that they would pray to the Father who is in heaven in secret. That they would learn to love the God who is in secret. Friends, it's not how much time you pray. It's not the methodology of praying, but it's this. Do you pray to know your Father? Don't try to manipulate Him. Don't try to impress others. But pray to know Him above everything else. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you so much that you did not leave us as spiritual orphans, because we would have never found our way to you. But rather, you have revealed these things to children, to those who would receive your word as a child with humility. We thank you that we have a way to pray, that we have a sinless Savior who came as the God-man, who experienced every weakness of the flesh as we did, yet did not sin. And so He is able to bring us to you and to take our prayers and to intercede on our behalf and to teach us how to pray. Father, we pray that these people here would be mighty in prayer. I pray that this congregation would be valiant warriors because they know you. Because they know you, our Father, who is in heaven, in all of your holiness and splendor. So strengthen them, we pray, by your word. And give them great joy in praying. We ask this for the sake of Christ and the glory of His name. Amen.